Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What We Said Podcast.
I'm Chelsea.
And I'm JC. And we're very excited to have you here with us. And we have two very special guests that have actually already been on the podcast.
Very special and handsome guests. The handsomest.
The most handsomest.
Please welcome Leif, my husband.
Hello.
And Nick, Chelsea's husband.
What's up, guys?
So excited, guys. This is going to be great. You guys have been highly requested. Again, no joke. We get messages all the time that say, bring the husbands back.
I'm thrilled to be here.
We said we have to get back together with them. Dang.
Yeah. So here we are.
Do we have to record under this blanket, though?
As if we're like in a fort.
Can we get out of
this fort? I built this tent for the podcast.
We're just sitting under there in our PJs.
Wait, that'd be so fun.
Yeah, actually, honestly, it would be fun.
Goals. Okay, we're doing a marriage Q&A today. We asked you guys if you had questions about marriage, and you guys delivered some real good questions. Lots of questions as well.
Lots.
We'll try and get through these, but we want your input, you guys, and we'll give our input as well. So, should we just hop right on in?
Yeah, let's just hop right in.
Okay. The first question is, what is the best way to prepare for marriage?
Can't.
Not possible. I'm gonna give my answer first.
Okay.
I think the best way to prepare for marriage is to prepare yourself and kind of think of the qualities that you want in someone and be that before you expect anyone else to be that.
True. I second that answer.
Because a lot of people that are in the dating world are like searching for their perfect match, but they don't necessarily
they want someone who is super successful, super kind, super whatever.
Yeah,
but they're not even that. So
yes, yeah,
so what is that successful, kind person looking for? Probably someone else who's the kind, same successful or whatnot. But
what do you guys think?
Going along with that, once you're more confident in yourself, you know what you're looking for a little more
in a person.
Yeah, that's
right. I would say date around, you know. Once you start dating, you figure out.
We know you feel that way.
No, that's like the best way to learn what you want in a person, in a spouse. So yeah, date around.
Okay, I have the next question.
Okay.
Who do you talk to when you need to vent about marriage, but you also don't want to tell people about your marriage? This is a good question. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Probably God.
Oh, wow. That's a good answer.
Getting deep.
I don't know. I think that marriage is pretty sacred where you don't want to go around talking to everybody, especially about like intimate details of your marriage. But
yeah,
I think if it's like lighthearted, then you can talk to your friends and family members if you're in somewhat of a fight, I guess, like a small fight. But yeah, I think praying about it probably.
Should we
get into that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a good answer.
Can I talk about God on this podcast?
Yes, you can.
No, I think that's good. I think for a long time, I always felt like I couldn't ever talk to anybody about anything with you. Well, I mean, just about me and Nick. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Because I felt like, I can't betray you. Like, you can't go all around and like...
Behind his back
behind
and
his
talk
back,
about
but
something.
I think
now
there's
it's
a
totally
difference.
Cool.
But now I tweet about you behind your back. No, I think... it has to be people you trust. Like, I don't think it's cool to go in a group of people and then start talking crap about them. Like, because I've seen people do that where they go in and just, like, start talking mad
smack.
So
you think that, and this is just a good question for everyone, yeah. Is it okay to say things that are personal? I know you need to talk with somebody about mm-hmm. it, but if it's with someone who is...
Well, I think there, I think you and your significant other know the limits.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because there are things where, like, me and JC will be talking about, and we're all just, like, just little things.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about you all the time.
Oh, cool. Kidding.
But just little things, you know, but it's like you would never go around and tell people their deepest, darkest secrets.
Which is...
Probably. You just have to know that line. I feel like anything I've ever told you or anyone else, it wouldn't be a shock to Leif.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's not a secret.
And it's not anything that if they found out that you told people, they would be bad about.
No.
You know, like, you know, yeah, you know the line.
No.
And I feel like if you're going to be doing something that's so embarrassing, that you should be ready for the repercussions of that being shared.
That is true.
Well, also, I was going to say, I think the reason that me and you share some things with each other is because I feel like you are similar to Leif and I'm similar to Nick.
Yeah.
So if you ever tell me something, anything, it's like I almost relate more to Nick.
It's
and
true.
I'm like, oh, I'm the same way. And then she's like, oh. And then it almost
Thank
helps.
Thank you
yeah,
so
helps.
Much, JC.
Yeah. It does. It actually helps.
Yeah. Because we're both unorganized messes.
Yes.
No, but I also think it's good for your relationship to have that person, whether it be like a friend you trust, who is not going to start hating your significant other if you tell them something that frustrates you. Like for me, if it's like if you tell your mom or if you're close with your mom or somebody else, to be able to talk to them, I think is healthy for a relationship, to talk to someone outside.
Yeah.
This is an extreme case, but even in the case of an abusive relationship, it's like the main problem there is that the person never told somebody early. They always kept it between them because they felt like, well, this is my marriage.
Yeah.
But then later on, they're like, well, you never told anyone.
Well, and what I was going to say is, oh, sorry, Leif.
Someone who's really on the outside and has an unbiased outlook and opinion would be like a counselor.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a great option.
Yeah,
it's true.
I agree.
Because I don't think it's really gossiping then. You're more venting and they're helping you with your problems and yeah, you just need to.
And you have that confidentiality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With them too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I like it.
And if you guys, if like we both were to go or if two people in the relationship went, it's even better.
Yeah.
Or is that what you were saying?
Well, either.
We might as well cut that out.
No. It's good. Everything that they say that's kind of we'll cut that
scratch
out.
Scratch that. No, but for real, we should probably cut that out. I'm not going to.
Okay. No, I think that was good. Now we're just ruining it. Okay. Yeah. So this was, I think, the most frequently asked question that I saw was, how did you know that they were the one? And a lot of people said, I've heard the phrase, when you know, but how do you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I know, you know.
So, do you guys have an answer for that?
I feel like there's no such thing as, like, the one, if that makes sense.
Tulsa's like, awesome.
I'm like, oh, you have two.
As much as I love my beautiful and sweet wife, I don't think there's just one for...
Yeah.
And I think everyone's probably co-aligned in that.
Well, Some people really believe in soulmates and, like, fate and stuff, though.
We were talking about this in our last podcast, or maybe two podcasts ago, but... My mom told me one time that if soulmates don't exist, it's almost more romantic to choose somebody and know that it's your choice, that you picked that person and you committed. That's more romantic than, oh, the universe placed this person in my lap.
Totally.
Yeah. So
I agree
with that.
To work for it more.
So you don't think I'm your soulmate? Awesome. Just kidding. I feel like it is kind of something that people say to people to have when you're in that romantic kind of blinded phase of you're my soulmate, where it's like, well, maybe that's blinding you from other things that could be whatever.
But I feel like the question still stands.
Yeah, how did you know that Chelsea was the one, though, for you?
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of things. Like, I had multiple signs that I felt like Chelsea was the one. I was absolutely just Twitter-pated when I met her, everything about her, and there was some other, like, stupid things, like, when I'd be in the car and, like, listen to a song on the radio that would have like lyrics remotely similar to the situation I was in. I'm like, that's a sign. So I would start relating things that I would want to like fit my narrative of like my idea of marrying Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went with that and took those feelings and continued on with it.
As signs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you knew way before I knew, because I was going to say, I didn't even know, like right when we met, it wasn't like, this is the man I'm going to marry. It was like actually the opposite, like, wow, he kind of wants to marry me. Like, I'm kind of freaked out.
It wasn't the opposite.
No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know. I think there comes a point in time where you think, at least for me, where I just realized like what I wanted in a husband, and you were that. And so it was like, okay, this is what I want. Like, I'm willing to make that commitment, and whatever comes, comes.
I think for me, it was that marriage didn't scare me with Leif at all.
Ooh.
And I remember kind of, you know, I feel like whoever you date, you kind of picture marriage with them at some point, even if you're not even serious, super serious with them yet. It's just like a thought, because it's like, why would I continue to date you if there's literally not a chance we're getting married? So I had like pictured marrying other people, and there were always aspects of it that I was just like, I am not, like, I do not want to marry them. Mm-hmm. Or there was something that it was just
off.
I didn't feel right about it at all. And picturing marriage, like when we got to that point where we both, I think both kind of knew, like, it didn't scare me at all. It just, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a new thing and it's scary a little bit, but it more, I just felt like so much peace and comfort with that thought that it just felt so right to me. I don't know. That's the only way I can describe it.
It is. There's like just one feeling. And when people are like, well, what is it? It's like you just...
You can't. You can't. That's why people say when you know, because yeah, there's no way to say it.
Yeah. I think peace is a good way to put it.
What do you think, Leifers?
I was going to say exactly what you said. I would picture marriage with other people and then picture it with you. And it just felt like so right.
Yeah.
And so comfortable. So I think when you know is good. And just don't stress about it. Just
because when you know, when it comes, it you'll comes. Know.
Yeah, it's like you kind of just have to wait.
Yeah.
Until you feel it. You can't be like, okay, but what is this it?
Because if you're asking yourself that, then probably not.
Then it's probably not. Because I remember when we were talking about marriage, I like prayed. And I was like kind of asking for like a confirmation. Like, is this really happening? And I just remember feeling like peace, and I started bawling because I was like, yay.
Yay.
As she's bawling.
Yay. Yay. No more first dates.
Seriously.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever had to choose? I think this is a really good one for both of our situations. Have you ever had to choose who takes priority as far as chasing your dreams goes? My husband and I both have big goals, and in order to get where we want to be, we kind of need to go all in, but we would probably never see each other if we both chased our separate dreams fully. So while my husband is in school and then entering his career in film, I've chosen to take a backseat and be his supporter. But I also have found a dream I want to chase, so I'm wondering if you've experienced something like this. What do you think, Knickers?
I think it's pretty relevant. I feel like that's part of marriage, though, is making those sacrifices. And there's going to be different times where I feel like it should be kind of, I don't know.
Even?
Yeah. I mean, there's, it depends on the relationship. There's other people who might not really care for chasing something big.
Well, it's unfortunate when it happens at the same time that you both find these opportunities.
But if you really want it, you can still do it.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
If you want what, you can still do what?
If you want to go after something, like a goal of yours or a job, a business.
Then you can make it work. There's really no excuse.
Yeah, you should just do it.
Yeah. And ignore your spouse?
Sure. If that's what you want. But I mean, like, if that's like eating at them, then I think the spouse would understand if he or she is pursuing their dream.
Yeah.
So I don't think it should be tied down in any way. Well, Leif's nodding at me very much so.
Very aggressively. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like in marriage, it's always, I mean, I feel like for us, it's a back and forth of like supporting each other. And if I'm supporting JC in her dreams, she's going to feel that. She's going to feel that support and that love and want to give that back to me. and she'll give me my time to do my things.
Well, it's like my time to shine. Hopefully coming soon.
In this next year, I have big plans for you.
No, but it's true. Like, because you support me so much, you know that when the time comes that you know, you had something else that you wanted to do, I would support you fully because you have done the same for me.
Yeah.
You guys are both freaking talented. So.
True. Oh,
thanks, Nick.
Yeah, it is hard, though, when I feel like kind of we're in that space right now where we don't see each other that much because we're both doing so many different things. But we still are good. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like our relationship is better because we
you're both have more that fulfilled.
Equal support. Yeah, and we both... Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This may be controversial. Okay, can someone teach me how to say that word? I still don't
know. Didn't you say it right?
I don't know.
Controversial?
Controversial. Controversial?
Controversial.
Controversial.
Is that right?
Okay, cool.
No clue. Don't know, don't care.
Okay, a few different people said, do you recommend living together before you get married? And we obviously don't know
the difference.
So neither Chelsea and I, we both didn't live with them before. We started living together right after we got married. So I don't feel like I can really say if I think that that's, if I would recommend that. So we're religious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, okay, a lot of people are like, why'd you get married young? Like, why do people get married young in our first thing too? And I feel like weirdly we didn't address like kind of
why
the reasoning, which it's not anything, it's not a secret, but we're all of us are religious people. And just to be completely honest, like we all did not have sex before marriage.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason that a lot of people that are religious get married
young.
Not literally just for that, but it's like, you're not about to date for 5 years.
Yeah.
So it just wouldn't work. So
yeah, you're kind of in a hurry.
You're kind of in a more of a rush.
Well, also you have this because you can't do that and you're not living together, you can't really start a life together. So it's like getting married is when you start that life instead of some people date for years, but they are already building that life together.
Right.
When you're dating in that scenario, it's so hard to start a life together.
Dating in what scenario?
In just
when you're not living together.
Yeah, when you're not living together, when you're not, you know.
That makes sense. I feel like it would take like
when you're not banging.
Just kidding. But a lot of people do say like living together before is so necessary.
Yeah.
And I can see now, I understand that. Now that I'm married, I get how that would be helpful to like know, you just know them better when you live with them. You know
them
better.
So much more about them.
And you know so much more about them. And there's nothing, this sounds bad, but there's nothing they can hide or you can hide because you're just living together.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get how that could be helpful, but also we just didn't do that. So we can't say that.
Also, it's like us living together was the first year of our marriage. So it's kind of just like, when are you going to tie the knot, before or after? You know?
Yeah.
But anyway. I don't know. Advice in that area, I don't know.
There's my two cents on that.
Neither of us didn't and we're still standing, so... Okay. What do you do when one of you isn't ready for marriage yet, but you know you want to get married in the next few years?
Wait until you're both ready.
I was going to say this earlier, like when you know, it's like, okay, sometimes when you Force know, them. Yeah, when you know, they don't know. You have to wait for the other person.
You can't, forcing is a horrible idea.
Yeah, it's like if you think you're ready, but they're not ready, then you're not ready.
Together,
yeah,
as a couple, you are not
both,
ready.
You and, both have to be.
And don't push the envelope either.
Yeah.
Let it happen in their own time.
I'd say just patience for that one.
What about if neither of you want to get married? Like, should you still get married?
Absolutely not. Okay. I don't know.
What if we both don't get along and don't want to get married?
What if I hate his guts and everything about his personality? Should I marry him? Is he rich? Sure.
See, rich, then yes. Okay. How do you deal with personality changes that were not there when you got married initially?
Nick, you want to answer that?
Yeah. Oh, sorry for my repulsiveness right now.
You were saying me because I know that my personality, like I'm very much introverted. But
I was saying I feel like I kind of came full force after we got married and I was like, surprise, I have an eating disorder.
Oh, that wasn't a big deal.
Aw.
Mm-hmm. Also, that wasn't a surprise, was it?
No.
Not really, kind of, but.
I feel like I was more of a surprise where I'm usually, like, really outgoing, but I feel like since we've been
married. Well, you warned me before that you were very introverted. Nick just needs his alone time, a lot of it.
Yeah.
From everybody. And I think for a long time I took it personally that he just needed so much alone time for me that he hated being with me. But I kind of had to realize that in order to get the best version of Nick, I needed to have him have his alone time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But with personality changes, in marriage, I feel like you just have to evolve with each other. You both are going to evolve all the time. It would be weird if they stayed the exact same person from the time they were 20 to the time they're 60, you know? So your relationship
when they
evolves,
inevitably die.
At the age of 60 when everybody dies.
No, that's, I think grow with each other and not apart is kind of the main goal. But
and let each other grow, I think, is important.
Yeah. But what if someone, like, I've actually heard this before, I was telling Leif, where it's like someone will say, my husband got so controlling after we got married. And, like, he wasn't like that when you're dating. And I'm just like, that? Like, you know, when it's kind of.
Starts with a D, ends with a divorce.
That was a good one, babe.
Thanks. But seriously, it's like when it's kind of a scary, toxic trait like that, I'm like, ooh.
That is scary.
I don't know about that one. I mean, it's different if it's like, I feel like maybe, I don't know. What do you think changed? What do you think about me has changed since we got married? Because the only thing I could think of was maybe that I'm more emotional or something.
I think that's a common one for girls.
Because, well, we've talked about this before, but when you get married, so when you're dating, at least for us, like how we were dating, like we said, we didn't live together before, and it would just be like, Leif would go to work, I would do my work stuff, and then we would meet up at like 6 p.m. and hang out until 1 a.m. and then go. But it's like they're only getting you for 6 hours out of the day, and when now that we work together 24/7, it's like, you're getting me 24 hours of a day, so I'm bound to have moments where I, like...
Have a meltdown,
and you're going to see that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you think I've changed?
Well, for me, I mean, no, I just see more of you, you know? And that's okay for me, because it sounds cheesy, but it's like I have true love for you. I'm able to look past that and see you for...
He's like, look past your horrible qualities.
The wonderful lady you are.
Oh, that was sweet.
You know, you have to be humble in marriage. It's not just a bright, blissful, fun time. It's a hard thing.
Yours isn't. Ours is awesome. 24/7.
Yeah. You have to be humble.
Yeah, that's a good, very good trait to have in marriage. Nick is very good at saying sorry first.
So is Leif. Very
I
good
had
at
a hard
it.
Time.
1, 2, 3. I'm sorry. Sorry. Beat you.
Leif's faster.
Leif's more humble.
Leif's 1, 2, 3.
Sorry. Got you that time.
Okay. This is a good question. How do you choose which family to spend time with each holiday? This is a good question for both of us.
The one that has the most money.
Yeah. The one that buys you the most. No, this is good for both of us because both of JC and Leif's family live in Arizona, and Nick and I's family both live in Arizona, pretty close to each other. So it's hard.
A lot of people really struggle with this. I feel like it's never been that much of an issue for us. I mean, it's only been 2 years that we've had to do this, I guess. It's a little bit harder because both mine and Leif's parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. So we have 4 families.
Oh, yeah.
But I think all of our families are pretty understanding about it, and they're pretty cool. We're lucky in that regard because... I don't know. Neither of us have psycho parents who are like, you need to be spending time with us. Like, they kind of just let us do our thing.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
We try and use our best judgment and split up the time evenly.
Yeah, I think when other families start getting super controlling about it, it makes the person want to spend less time with them.
Yeah.
With that tie of the family. Because it's kind of the same for us. Like, we kind of make a good judgment. Like, well, we were here all day, so maybe we should go back over there, or... I think when we have kids, it might change a little bit. I think we might be more put in. Because right now, we kind of do 2 Thanksgivings in the same day and 2 Christmases in the same day. But
yeah. I feel like it's important to, like, understand that it's not them making the decision, too. Like, your parents.
Yeah.
Or your parents-in-law. That, like, it's ultimately up to...
You.
And then
Yeah, it's like your own
then
family.
Setting that expectation like early on that they're not that you're not gonna be like manipulated. Yeah. Or
that's what I said to Leif. I said early on, like, it's not like either of our parents are controlling, but you want them to know it's like, this is our family now. You know, even though we don't have kids, it's like,
totally,
this is our life. And not to sound rude, but it's like, we'll do what
we think is
convenient
best.
Or what, not what is convenient.
We'll do not what benefits us the most.
No, that sounded horrible. I just mean like sometimes we'll have so much work and it's like, you know, we just can't, mm-hmm. we can't make it. What's the word I'm looking for? Just can't make it happen.
Yeah.
Like certain things and that I wish we could, but that our life right now doesn't permit because we live out of the state or whatever. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Be more straight up.
Yeah, just be more honest. It's like,
sorry, we can't come to this year's Christmas dinner or Christmas breakfast or something.
Yeah.
So usually it's like they'll pout about it for a second, but
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And like you said, once you have kids, it'll probably be different. But anyway.
Someone said, like, that's good.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say that same exact thing.
Okay.
Someone asked, is it hard to choose which side of the bed to sleep on? And honestly, yes.
Yeah.
Me and Nick.
What side do you sleep on, Chelsea?
I like to sleep on the side closest to the door.
I sleep on the side closest to the door. Yeah, I sleep on the left side.
That's farthest away from like the back wall.
What back wall?
Well, I guess that doesn't make sense if you can't see our room. But right now our bed is kind of up against a wall, the side of it. So I like to be on the side that's not closed in. And
okay, gotcha.
And so does Nick. So
I think it's a natural.
Yeah, you don't like thing. He says he can't wake up in the morning if he's not on the other side of the bed.
I'm on the left side. And we pretty much stick to that.
Good boy.
Okay. How do you work out finances in a marriage? A lot of people asked like separate bank accounts, same bank account. A lot of people had that question. Again, Leif and I have had, so we have a combined bank account and that's just how it's always been for us.
Mm-hmm.
So don't know any different. Can't really give advice either.
Yeah.
I can only say that it's worked for us, but I also think we have a unique situation where we work together. So I don't really know. Do you guys have a separate bank accounts or one?
Well, we've had multiple bank accounts. Some of them shared, some of them not.
Okay.
So yeah, I think we've like, never really had like a joint bank account. Like we've never rolled.
It's something that we're like, well, we have, but it's not. I don't really.
Yeah, but that wasn't because really joint.
I started some businesses and I've had to open up business checking accounts and things like that.
Yeah.
Where Chelsea might not have been directly involved in that business, then I haven't, to be honest, had a shared bank account in that regard.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Through our personal accounts, we've had shared bank accounts.
Yeah. I think it's, in my mind, it makes sense to have, I don't know. It's so different when everyone has such different jobs and situations. Yeah. I don't really know. But to me, I like that it's together because I feel like it's ours together and we can hold each other accountable for every purchase. It's like,
yeah.
There's no secrets. You know what I mean?
Not yeah. No, I think that's good.
It's just totally. Like everything's right there. But
yeah.
Again, I don't know.
I've heard two ways. Like people are so adamant, like do not have separate bank accounts. And then I've heard a lot of people say you should have one joint and then maybe
your own
a separate
thing.
One so that you have like one where you pay the bills and where you have all that stuff and then maybe separate like savings or credit cards or something where it's just separate. But we've had separate ones for like credit score reasons to keep our credits separate. And then we've been wanting a joint bank account, but and Nick always said, okay, go set it up. And I just never set it up. So
yeah, it's kind of a logistics matter.
Yeah. But again, it's like I think it depends on the circumstance completely because I, at this point, trust you. Like, I don't.
Moving up.
It's like, at this point, yep.
You've been trust a good, you now. You've been a good boy.
You've been a good boy. No, I'm just saying I trust you so I don't, you know, need to be. My mom was saying the other day, like, oh, well, do you ever tell him to do this? And I was like, there's one thing I've learned in this marriage, and it's that nothing gets accomplished by telling the other person what to do.
What did Stephanie want me to do?
I don't remember.
Hmm.
We'll call her.
Put her on the show.
We call her like, Mom,
what do you think about joint bank accounts?
Yeah, it's hard to see the other side because we've never been there.
Yeah.
But I like having a joint bank account. We make all of our purchases together. And yeah, no secrets, no hiding.
Yeah, everything's out
there. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, cool.
But how am I going to get Uber Eats all the time?
Yeah.
With Chelsea not getting mad at me.
That's the thing. We need a joint bank account so I can see how much Panda you're getting. So
I'm know how much Panda. Health insurance I'm we need. It.
That's what you say, like every 3 months. Panda's nast.
Okay.
Just so sad. What do you get at Panda?
Orange chicken. You can't get anything else.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Chow mein or rice?
Mixed.
Wow. Getting crazy.
Okay. How do you continue to grow in love with your spouse?
Wait, that was so... My next one was things to do to keep dating your spouse. Aww. So I feel like that's the same thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking surprises. Surprising mm-hmm. them with little things. Doesn't even have to be a gift. Just like, well, I guess flowers are a gift, but it's coming home with flowers or surprising them with a little thing. I don't know what. Even just like, I'm going to give you a massage tonight. Whatever. Just little surprises. Or setting up date nights, I think, is a really good way. We don't do this enough. Like, usually our date nights are kind of just on the fly. But I always love when we do set up a date night. We're like, okay, on Thursday or whatever, on Friday night, we're going to go to dinner and a movie. And then I'm, like, excited for it. And then we rarely do that. It's most of the time just on the fly. Yeah.
Why do you feel like it makes such a big difference? I'm curious because that's cool.
To just like keep dating. It's just, you mean to set up date nights and stuff?
Yeah, the difference of when you set it up rather than doing it on the fly.
I don't know. I feel like it's, you're making it a priority.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, we have free time. We could do this together. It's like, I want to spend time with you. I want to like do something fun together where we're not working and set a time that.
Yeah, for me, it's something that I look forward to and I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And you just put work behind you. You know that this night is for the date night and you just have fun together.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's cool. So you're not like thinking about a bunch of other things while you're in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You
kind
of dedicate it.
That's
good. Well, I think back to when we were dating, when we would go out to eat or go to a show or something, like we wouldn't have our phones out. We wouldn't be texting or scrolling on Instagram. Like our phones would be away.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing that you can do to kind of switch it up and just put your phones away and listen to each other, look at each other. And
I heard, I think I might have said this last time, but I heard a psychologist saying when you go to a restaurant, you can always tell which couples are dating and which couples are married because the couple that's married are looking around the restaurant and the couples that are dating are looking at each other. So I think, I don't know, I've made a subconscious effort to like always look at you when we're on dates or like try and... Besides when we're in the car, then I get bored and I get on Instagram and he's like, where are we going? I'm like, oh, sorry.
Car is not the best place for Chelsea and I. I'd say like 60%, 70% of our fights are
in the car.
From the car.
I know. And then they usually get solved like...
By the time we're getting out.
Yeah, literally.
not all the time, but we try.
Unless I make a dramatic exit out the car.
Yeah, unless you slam the door.
Yeah. I love slamming the door.
I love slamming the door. I was also going to say that getting dressed up every once in a while is fun. I don't know. I rarely do that, honestly. But it's fun and it makes it feel more special.
Yeah. I do like when we go on dates after work and... What are you guys doing?
Oh, nothing.
Plotting against us?
Yes.
They like make eye contact with
the... This is the time.
Attack!
doing sign language to each other. They're like, now they're like Mario Kart. They literally just leave. I forgot what I was gonna say. Rad.
We're talking about dates and like getting dressed up.
Oh, I will say I like when you are at work and you'll be like, okay, I'm coming to pick you up at 7, and it kind of feels like we're dating again because you like come pick me up and I like take time to get ready and put my makeup on, which is a very rare event these days. But
you don't need it.
Oh, thanks.
No, it is fun.
I think it all comes down to doing something out of the ordinary. Once you're married, you kind of get stuck in the same routine.
You go to the same restaurants.
Yeah.
You go.
Yes.
Just switching it up.
Yeah, it is fun to do different things. Like we went to a play the other day and I was like, we should do this more often.
Nice.
Actually, you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
Wow, what a guy.
What play was it?
What a guy.
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Oh, cool.
All right, we're going to take a quick little break to talk about our amazing sponsor for today's episode,
Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community, and they have over 25,000 classes, you guys, which is insane. They have classes from everything, design, business, photography, literally anything you want to learn, you can find it on Skillshare. There's so much variety. And what's cool is that this is not just for artistic people. I've seen a lot of photographers and creatives promote for this, but they have a ton of different classes about literally everything to help you develop lots of different skills.
The class that me and JC are going to take this week is called Business Planning for Creatives. We're going to take it together. That way we can talk about it after we're done, talk about what we learned. And this is a great idea if you want to do it with a friend, maybe you want to do it with a spouse. You guys can hold each other accountable, talk about what you learned.
Great idea. Love it. If you guys already failed on your New Year's resolutions like me, just kidding. I'm actually doing pretty good. But it is never too late to pick it back up again, sign up for some classes, and learn a new skill or just improve on one you already have. And Skillshare is cool because it's a subscription site. And when you pay the subscription, you get unlimited access to all the classes. And like I said before, there are over 25,000. So there are so many to pick from. Skillshare is offering you guys 2 months free, which is amazing.
That's right, you guys heard that correct. Skillshare is offering our beautiful, amazing What We Said listeners 2 months of unlimited access to those 25,000 classes for free. So sign up, go to skillshare.com/whatwesaid. Again, that is skillshare.com/whatwesaid to start your 2 months of learning now. That's skillshare.com/whatwesaid.
Okay. Someone asked, what are our best tips for arguing less?
A lot of times I speak before, or I speak before I think. So I'm just going to say what I feel is I feel like it's good to argue in a nice way. So if you're speaking nice, if you have good tone, if you have good intentions with your arguments. So I would rephrase it as like a conversation.
Yeah, it's more of problem solving.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need to speak through things, so.
So, like, not subduing those feelings, but, like, I'm one that, like, if I feel something, I usually say it. I wear my emotions on my sleeve.
Same.
And I don't want to carry those feelings around. I don't have time for it in my brain, so I just will say it.
Dump it out. I will say you're very good at, like, neutralizing the situation. This is whenever we're having a discussion, quote-unquote, and I start to get, like, I raise my voice a little bit, and Nick always says, okay, I'm not going to talk to you if you're going to talk to me like that. I do not deserve to be talked to like that.
Whoa.
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm screaming at you.
Does
awesome.
He wave his hand like that?
Yeah, he goes,
yep.
Snaps in a Z formation.
No, he actually goes like this. But it's good because in the moment, I usually think.
That doesn't usually help.
Or, I'll like, if I'm really mad, I'll be like, I'm not yelling. Do you want to hear me yell or something?
Oh, but, Chelsea, no, that's not true.
No, I'm just saying like,
And you go super sane.
Yeah. Chelsea doesn't like if she's raising her voice, which doesn't happen very often when I talk softer or like more quiet.
No, he doesn't. What I was going to say is most of the time, that's my first instinct is to be a little more mad when he says, okay, I won't be talked to like that. Cause just it's like, but then I have to, over time, I've just realized, okay, yeah, you're right. And I have to take a step back and start talking nicely again. Here's and it kind thing. Of is hard for me to speak. When I'm super mad, well, yeah, for me to speak thing. Nice.
It's a hard thing, but you have to work on understanding one another. You have to get to an understanding, or else I feel like our arguments get blown out of proportion when we aren't feeling like we understand each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there's an understanding first, and like...
And if we go into an argument, but more of a conversation with like, if I say, okay, Leif, I've just been thinking about this and I totally understand this. And, mm-hmm. and we start like that, then it's usually like smooth sailing. But if I'm like, why are you annoyed at me? And right. then he's like, I'm not. Blah, blah, blah. And then it's 100%. Escalates.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Something that I'm at the very surface level of like researching is like clear content communication. And that's like to be implemented in business and in relationships where you say what you mean and you don't like really mince words. Like, you just say what you feel. And, like, Chelsea and I have been, like, experimenting with it, and I feel like it's helped us a ton. It might not be as, like, sorry.
No, I was going to say, because we used to almost, like tiptoe around what we actually wanted to say.
Yeah.
And it would get us in a fight. It was so weird. Like, we're like, okay, we're actually just trying to be nice to each other, but we're both getting frustrated with the other one just not saying what they want or what they mean.
And that's when, like, where you get out of sync with each other because you're not communicating effectively. And it might not be as pretty to say, like, what you want. Like, naturally, I want to be super nice and say things nicely or do what Chelsea wants to do. But if she asked me, like, hey, do you want to go? I was thinking we could maybe go to the movies instead of, and then I could be like, I don't know if I feel like going to the movies. Where if instead Chelsea could say, hey, I really would like to go to the movies. And I could say, hey, that sounds great. I'd love to go.
Yeah, or because we genuinely want to do what the other person, we want to make the other person happy.
Yeah.
But it gets muddled in, I don't know, just like trying to be iffy about things. Like, and, oh, well, I don't know. Do you want to go to the movies? I mean, if you want to go, okay, well, I'll do whatever you want to do. And then it kind of turns into a fight.
A little fake relationship.
Yeah.
Like, just say what you mean. You're comfortable around your spouse. You should be able to say whatever you want.
And what you feel. But I feel like we don't do that.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Even with our family members. Like, my mom wanting me to come over for Christmas or for Chelsea's parents wanting us to come over for, at a certain time. Like, what we were talking about earlier. If we just say, hey, we need to go here, and like being very direct in all aspects of life, and I could be going on forever.
Well, and
that,
it's not mean. No, it's just,
it's truthful. It's just, yeah, if it's, anything, it's like doing a favor.
It helps them. Yeah.
Just right to the point.
It gives them a better picture of what you want and what, because that's really what other people want, is to know what you want. Like, they genuinely want to serve you and have you be comfortable,
especially your spouse.
Totally. Yeah. So if you don't want something, say you don't want it. If you want something, say you want it. Except for, I will say, Nick was telling me to do this, and then I was like, I want to go here. And he was like, you're being kind of bossy and selfish today.
Well, you think, look, there's a tone involved.
I know. I actually said this in,
like, I want it now.
Yeah, and I was kind of saying it in a snarky way, but I was like, okay, I want this.
She's like, I want a new car.
And you don't always have to say yes if you're using content, clear content communication. And also, I need to preface, I'm not an expert on this at all, but it's been helping a lot.
Yeah, it actually has helped us a lot.
Well, a lot of times I'll find myself being kind of pouty. Like, I'll be mad about something and not speak and not say anything.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for JC to ask me, like, what's wrong?
To notice.
Say sorry. To notice, yeah. And that's kind of selfish.
Yeah.
I need to put my feelings out there and then we can talk about it.
Well, I think that's the main difference between you and I, is that I say how I feel and you don't as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which there are pros and cons to both. Like, sometimes I speak before I think, or just immediate, like, just uncomfortable feeling, all I'm like, I just,
it comes
say
out
it
before you can organize
immediately.
It. Yeah.
Whereas Leif, like, really thinks before I think. I think you really think before you speak, which is actually a really good quality in some aspects.
I have a hard time putting my feelings into words. So yeah. I actually have to think about it.
Yeah.
It is shocking. I know we've said this a lot, how similar
I know
your guys' personality.
Which is why it's, JC was like, I don't ever see you getting super mad and loud. It's because I can't put my feelings into words very well, whereas Nick is like so eloquent. When he feels something, he can say it and I understand him completely. Whereas me, I get all these feelings and I'm almost just like a little kid that's frustrated that I can't speak.
Yeah. That's exactly what he says. Yeah.
It is frustrating.
Yeah, it is. So that's why I get even more mad.
And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, can you please say something? Just anything. And you're like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like,
yeah.
And sometimes I do get so frustrated that I can't speak, that I just throw those feelings away almost and just be, I'm like, okay, the argument's over. Like, I love you. I'm sorry. I felt all those things. No, it's kind of like I did lose, but
I'm defeated.
But
I'm
most of the time I'm okay with it. Most of our arguments don't need to be had. You know?
Yeah. Which Leif is better. Not that I'm like, I need to have the last word, but I'm like, kind of like, I just want it to get solved and for him to like realize, like, but Leif is genuinely is so humble. Like, I don't think you care if you're right. Like, you're just like, okay, that makes sense. And I'm like, I would never be able to just be like, I mean, occasionally,
yeah,
but
It's funny.
If you felt really strongly, would you be able to, like, that you're right? Would you, do you feel like it's right to
fight for it?
Back down?
Or actually, like, that was a question someone had is in when you're arguing with your spouse, when do you stand your ground and when do you just give up?
It depends what the argument's about, I think. And it depends how passionate you are about it. But I think for me, when I am so passionate about something, sometimes I just need time to see his side or something. But I've told him this before. I cannot apologize to you if I don't mean it. I'm not just going to throw around an empty, like, I'm sorry, you were right, if that's not how I feel.
And usually those apologies turn out to be backhanded apologies, which I always say to Nick, and I hate them. It's like, I'm sorry that you got offended by this.
Yeah, and so...
like, that's not an apology.
When I genuinely feel like, wait, I think I still feel the same way. Like, even after I've heard what you have to say, I still feel the way I feel.
Yeah,
I don't feel genuine saying, I'm sorry, you're right. Or, yeah, I don't want to give a backhanded apology. Like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
So I'll just be like, maybe I'll apologize and say, I'm sorry, I just can't, like, I can't understand.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I can't say
that's
sorry.
That's good. Like, I need time to understand where you're coming from. Like Leif was saying before, it's like a lack of understanding.
Well, that shows love and humility. Yeah. You need your time, and it shows that you're wanting to understand, you know?
Yeah.
Willing,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think making a commitment to each other to, when you are arguing or having those discussions, is to always make sure you're doing it from a place of love. And if it's, because I don't think it's necessarily bad to come from a place of anger or whatever, because that's natural emotions.
Yeah.
But to not communicate with them at that point, because there are times when I'm so upset and I know I have feelings of my own to work out, that I have to say, Nick, like, I don't want to leave mad at you, but we're not going to figure this out anytime soon, because I can't give you my best self right now. So I have to, you know, go somewhere, go on a walk, do something, and then it gives me time to think about it, and I usually come back more selfless and like, okay, yeah, and I get where you're coming from, like, you're not whatever.
Nick's like trying to think of when that's ever happened. He's like,
He's like,
you are good at that.
Yeah. Well, it makes me mad because I don't want to leave at that point. It makes me so sad. I'm like, okay, well, bye. And I usually say it exactly like that. Bye. Love you. But I'm always glad that I do before I say anything else that I'll
regret.
Yeah.
You know, a tip that I have? I think, I don't know if this is just us, but this is something that I need to work on. While we're having an argument, I think we need to look at each other while we're speaking. A lot of times I find myself not really looking at you.
You know? Awesome. He's like, I'm
kind of just sitting there letting
I can relate.
Talk or,
yeah.
Yeah.
But if you look at each other, then after a while, at least for me, I'm looking at you and I think,
This is my best friend.
Yeah. This is my Aww. Wife. Why are we so
getting
angry
so mad
at each other?
Yeah.
You know, it just lessens the heat.
Well, Chelsea, didn't you say like you heard something to touch each other, like to be holding
yeah,
hand?
Yeah, I heard this
hand.
Thing that when you're arguing, like try to be like touch, like if you're touching them, like if I'm going like this, it's really hard for me to start
she's
yelling at
his
him.
Arm.
Yeah, sorry.
Or if he has
we can't tell you what she's doing now. But you know what I mean, like if your hand is on them or you're touching their leg or something
sick,
then there's no way you're gonna be super mean to them,
yeah,
because it just puts them back into
it puts it back into perspective
form.
Yeah. Human form instead of monster.
Literally
another though. Thing you can do is just like that's just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will say a lot of our fights when
start
we're
with
arguing
that
and yeah. with a
yeah we usually both end
that's
we
how you
release
know it's over.
The hot air then we're done.
I love you.
No, I will say humor a lot of times has gotten us out of a lot of arguments.
Yeah,
where because Nick will do something and it's just so outrageous and I'll start dying laughing and then I'm just because I'm laughing, I'm starting to realize
gotcha.
How dumb it is that we're... I know, and I'll laugh. And I'll
I just
like,
distract her. The joke. Oh, we're yeah. like, we're done. See ya.
He starts juggling. He's like, what do you think now?
You still hate me?
Have you ever told Nick that you hate him?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah. Nick has said hate's a strong you word. Hate me, but.
Oh.
No, actually, I say, I'm sorry. I say like that asked, to you. Like, I'm like, do you hate me? But it's kind of a joke. I don't mean it seriously. I'm
I don't like,
oh,
like
you
that
hate me.
One bit.
Me and JC always used to say that.
Yeah, oh, you hate me? Awesome.
It's like if someone ignores your text, like, you're like, oh, you hate me?
And not in like a very sarcastic way like that. Yeah. Because I would understand.
Yeah, Nick gets very mad when I say that. But like, oh, you just
it's understandable.
Well, sometimes I say, oh, you just literally hate who I am. But I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Also,
it's
I
like if I don't agree with like, oh, do you like this YouTube like personality? I'm like, not really. I don't think he's very funny. And it's like, oh, you hate who I am?
Well, that's a joke. You know that's a joke. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't like the Dolan twins? You hate who I am? Just kidding.
Okay. So what if you are a neat freak and your husband isn't, or you're an extrovert and he's an introvert? Like, what if you have clashing
sometimes things? I think that's the best combination.
Balances right? each other out?
Yeah.
It's sometimes hard to... Well, both me and Leif are far from neat freaks, which makes our life very hectic. Leif's actually getting more
what do you
of
mean?
A neat freak.
We're looking around the room.
Yeah, this room we're in right now is an example of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think you both have to respect each other's, like how each other
is.
That's our, not horrible grammar, but
how each other's are.
I think you have to respect each other and compromise, meet somewhere in the middle where it's like you have specific roles. If you are a neat freak and your husband isn't, like, I think that you need to respect that he isn't like that, but he also needs to respect that you are, and you somehow meet in the middle where he has specific roles that he needs to do and you need to be more understanding. I don't know.
Sometimes I think it's good when, you know, opposites attract and it creates a better combination. But then, I mean, sometimes I think me and Nick we both have pretty strong personalities. Like, it's not like, would you agree?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that's hard because they kind of clash sometimes. Where it's like we, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I'm listening.
Yeah. I'm like, are you listening? Hold your headphones off. No, I just think.
Hold on. Chelsea's looking at me I'm not listening.
Like there's a secret meaning.
No. She's, yeah, she's like, do you catch my drift? It's your time to come in here and save me.
Have you cracked the code yet?
Have you cracked the code? Like, you get what I'm putting down? You picking up what I'm putting down? No, I was just going to say sometimes it's hard because I don't really have a moral of that story. I was just going to say sometimes it's hard because we both have strong personalities. And
totally. I'm going to save you.
Okay, thanks.
No, I'm
Rad. He's like, I'm going to save you, Taylor. Cut that out.
I'm dead. No, don't cut it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, tell us.
I literally have nothing. No, I feel like when you do have strong personalities or in general, like to answer the question, going back to it, I feel like it's important to, and I'm no expert. I'm like talking like I am. I don't know why.
None of us are experts.
If you have a podcast microphone in your face, you're an expert.
Perfect.
That's what we've learned.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Don't give from credit to anyone else.
From my perspective, I feel like if you like come together cumulatively and like try to form something greater than what you guys are, just by yourself, then it's going to be like a more productive, loving, fun relationship where like everyone it feels represented and like it's you're both working
like
towards
that.
Something that's a part of you that's like ingrained in you, and I think that's like a good goal to have for any couple.
I really like that. I think that's what I actually was gonna try and say is when you have such, I guess this is, I'm not even going with the question about neat freaks and whatever, but.
No, it's
it was a dumb question. No, I think I was going to say what you just said. Like, you just have to take time to learn how to mesh them to make them into something really great. Like, you could be like this great couple together, or it could just be like Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, you can either pull apart or, you know, work together and build.
But it takes time. I feel like it's taking us a lot of time to kind of get to know each other's
and I think that's awesome, and it kind of goes back to that one question by
that's awesome
one of the first questions we had. Yeah,
well I was just gonna say like the it's easy to focus on your spouse's weaknesses when they bug you, you know, because this person, mm-hmm. I don't know if this person that asked the neat freak thing is, I'm assuming they're married and that's
yeah,
a thing
that's
for
the
them.
Situation.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy to focus on those things that annoy you so much. But when you really stop to think about the things that you absolutely love about them, that there are so many things that Leif, so many qualities Leif has that I don't have that I admire so much, and I think vice versa. And it's easy to focus on those annoyances, but I think if you can step back, I mean, this isn't always going to be easy, but if you can step back and think about the reason you married them in the first place and yeah. and the things that you absolutely love about them, it's easier to forgive those little
yeah.
annoyances.
No, totally.
No, I like that. It just reminded me, actually. So Nick's not necessarily a neat freak as much as a sensory boy, as I like to say, where he gets
sensory boy.
I mean, I think life's the same way, like you've said. Like any little
totally.
Noise.
Oh, yep.
Any little thing, like touching him, it like sensory overload. And so he gets very kind of OCD about it. And it used to bug me so bad where I just want to shake him and be like, it doesn't matter. Just like stop. It doesn't matter. But I think now I've started to realize to kind of like help you with it, where it's like, okay, that's just how you are. And so I'll even hear things now and I'll say, and I'll like think Nick's gonna hate that, and so yeah. I'll be okay, we gotta fix that.
I was impressed,
like in the car or something, like
yeah.
a little tap to tap, and you just know
yeah.
like Leif
the earrings
pull over.
In the side thing tapping.
Oh, you know he's gonna pull over the car
yeah.
to check
oh,
every crevice.
Do you know how many times we stopped on our way from Arizona to California to fix the surfboard on top of his car that was hitting the windshield or hitting the top of his car like ever so slightly? We literally, I'm not kidding, every 30 minutes, I just see his car ahead of me because we were caravanning, just pull off. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, Nick, let's switch cars or something. I can't.
Where were we where I had to stop because the light on our car came on for the
oh,
check?
Oh, yeah. We were coming home from Utah and we were driving Abby, my little sister, and her friend. And it took us, I'm not kidding, I think it was literally like 14 or 15 hours. Or no, it's supposed to be 10 hours, and it was like 12 or 13. And I just remember being so frustrated, but now it's
yeah,
like, that's just how you are, and I have to just accept that and help you, and that's just how you are, so.
That's just how
so
I am.
So if he's a neat freak, no, I think it's good.
I know.
That's like, that aspect comes from other brilliant aspects that you have.
Thanks, man.
He's like, oh.
Casey, are you crying?
No. My eyes might be watering.
Baby.
But not because I'm sad.
Not because I'm feeling the
luck. Okay. What silly thing do you fight about? That's actually my last question that I had.
Will you guys answer first? Do you guys ever fight about Lady? Like how you train her, how like anything she's doing?
Yes, actually that's a good one. I was going to say, I don't care about her.
I hate our dog.
No.
And I want to get rid of her.
No, I don't care about... Leif is just so attached to her, I think, more than he is with me. He spends more time with her than I do.
More than he's attached
no,
to you.
No, more than... Oh, I'm sorry. More than I am attached to her, he's attached to her. And he feels so bad, like, leaving her in her crate. Like, we'll go to work out or something and... We'll leave her in her crate for an hour while we work out. And
I
then,
am the same.
And then I want to go, like, food or groceries from Whole Foods. And he's like, well... And I'm just like, Lady? Because Lady's
yeah.
in her crate? And he's like, yeah, I just feel bad. I'm like, it's been an hour. She's fine. And he's just like, and we'll fight about that. Or just
that's
little
so
things.
Funny.
Where I'm like, yeah, just put her in her crate when we're trying to shoot or something. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm
that
like,
is literally me
babe,
and Nick.
Babe, it's... She's a dog. Like, she's fine. It's not like I abuse her, but I'm like, she's not our, like, she's not a human.
Yeah.
But Leif just loves her so much. It's cute. But sometimes I'm like,
no, Nick
matter.
Does the same thing. I think I've said this before on the podcast as well, where one day we weren't even going anywhere. And he's just like, let's board Sophie. I'm like, why? We're home. Like, that's why we have a dog.
It's just annoying.
Just a little break.
Yeah.
And like, anytime... Or out, I'm like, okay, well, it's been like a certain amount of time. We need to go get her.
It's like, she's we might as well alone. Have had kids at that point.
No, you can't leave your kid home.
Well, I'm just saying
in
the
a
time
crate.
Allotment and everything.
Yeah, no, it's literally
Chelsea
the same
wakes
way.
Up in the morning, actually this morning, goes, good morning, beautiful girl. How are you, Sophie? As to me, I'm like, like dead quiet, like doesn't say a thing to me.
No.
And then
she's like, get up.
Quickly.
To you.
Yeah.
Get up. Get to work. What are you doing?
No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
But
no, I will. I always do. Oh, Sophie, my beautiful girl. You do that to her too, though. She's just so cute in the morning. So
she
are you.
Is. Oh.
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 Not even thank that. You. Just oh.
Oh. Am I?
Leif, do you have any last words? No, anything you want to say about the lady thing?
I have no defense.
Well, it's probably because you're similar to me where you feel like you're her primary caretaker.
Yeah.
Whereas like...
Awesome.
I do a lot of the caretaking.
I know.
I wake up every morning and take her out.
No, I know. He's like, gotcha. I do this, this, this. No, I know you're her primary
but
caretaker.
But it restricts what you want to do, right, JC?
So it makes you feel more responsible.
Right, JC?
Yeah, like I was down to get a dog. I love her. I don't want to get rid of her at all. I'm okay with taking care of her for sure, but I just think when it affects my life, when it doesn't need to, stuff like that, where it's like we can go to the grocery store, she is fine. Like, it's I would never leave her in her crate for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but it's just when it's been an hour, I'm like,
yeah.
I'd like to say that I'm not a complete stress case. It's just something kind of in the back of my mind, you know?
Well, and then the other day we were like hanging out with friends and we left her for a second and he was just like couldn't even have fun for like like for like 10 minutes. He was just,
Leif's
he was
like,
just
I'm like, not a complete stress case. JC's like, but you are.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, but this example proves it.
No, I'm just saying you definitely that affects you way more than it affects me. I can completely I'm like, oh, she's
no
fine.
Nick is
she's
the
dog.
Same way. That is so funny. I feel you, Leif.
It's good training for me, I feel like, for when we have kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it is something I need to work on, being a little less stressed when we're away from her, because she's fine.
But, Leif, Lady looks so good with you. Like, the other day when I saw you just holding
we're a great
Lady.
Couple.
You guys
right?
are...
Yeah.
You guys, yeah.
Couple goals.
Aww.
You and Lady.
She's just sleeping in her crate right now.
No, she really is. Like, she loves Leif so much, and she tolerates me, but...
Well, when you feel like you're like, if I'm not thinking about them, who is going to? So it's like,
we're not completely useless, me and Nick. We're like,
well
okay,
don't.
Let me ask you this, JC. If Leif were to go out of town for like 4 days, would you board Lady?
You already
Nick
asked me
would.
That. I would never.
Oh, for sure.
Nick does every time without
every
fail.
Time.
Okay, I feel like it's different because you work.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, it's for me, it's like I'm home. I would literally have no excuse. And I wouldn't want to. I love her company. Like, when
like if you
gone,
were
going
to go
like
to LA, though, for a whole day.
Yeah, I'd border.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, when I had times when I wasn't working like full time or going to an office.
Yeah, you did watch her.
I would watch her. But if I'm going to go, I'm not going to like stop my day and stop my progress to come back, feed her, like play with her, and go back.
Yeah, whereas that's like the best part of my day.
Boarding.
Yeah,
she
I was
loves
gonna
playing
say
with
she does. You almost feel like they could give her better care in certain situations. It's like, okay, I could come home and let her out of her crate for 2 minutes, or she could go play all day with someone.
Yeah,
that, like,
totally.
It's different.
Thanks,
oh yeah,
Casey.
I will say it depends on this one here. Okay, I'm gonna shout them out. This is not an ad. It's called Arizona Canine Center. The best boarding we've ever tried. Sophie loves it. It's a non-kennel, is that what they call it? There's no kennels, so they don't stay in different... We've tried one where they stay in little glass stalls, and it's kind of sad. Like, they just... I will, like, go in and look, and she's, like, joking.
I could care less. Leif
goes, or Nick goes,
I love Sophie, but she's a dog, and
I know,
that's
exactly.
It.
She's a dog. She's a free spirit.
She's a dog.
Love her, but leave her wild.
Look, and we'll leave you with that.
I will say that... no, I just think it's better. Well, I'm saying because she doesn't get let out in the morning until, like, if she has to go pee.
We've probably been rolling on this whole dog subject for
I know,
a while.
I'm just
it's
finishing.
My fault,
I'm
too.
Just finishing it with a genuine recommendation. Arizona Canine Center. If you're in Arizona, drop your dogs off there because Sophie loves it. She comes back and sleeps for days. They don't have kennels, so they all sleep in
they
the same
her.
Room.
Yeah, she loves it.
She loves it. She comes back high. No, they put them all in a big room, and they separate them by size and energy, and they take them on a walk every day. It is the best.
That's nice.
It is cool.
Yeah. So go check it out.
Well,
also sponsor me. Give me a year of free boarding.
That'd be real nice.
Okay, I have like two more questions. Is that fine? Or are we rolling? Leif gave JC the death look. Like, we got to
maybe pick one of them.
Okay. I have two really good ones.
Okay, fine.
This one's kind of just kind of funny. Okay. What do you think about the saying, all men are trash?
True. Just kidding.
They are.
No, I think that's, it's kind of sad. Here's the thing. I think it's kind of sad. I'm all for feminist stuff, but I think it's sad when people bash all men and like literally make them seem like just like men are trash. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And sometimes true, but I don't know. There are lots of good guys out there.
Yeah. And there are just as many bad boys as there are bad girls. Girls are not.
I would maybe agree with that. Some girls are crazy.
Girls are trash.
I'm like, yeah, women are trash. No. I think the saying men are trash is funny, though.
What do you think about it, Nick?
I think it's stupid.
Oh.
What?
I sense some fire. You think all women are stupid?
I sense some passion.
No, the saying is so dumb.
Yeah, no, I think it's dumb, too.
So I was like, yeah, obviously,
what would I say? What am I supposed to say? Oh, I love that saying.
He's like, yeah, I am trash. Yeah.
Men are such trash.
Yeah, I'm trash.
No, I think there's some really bad guys or some really bad girls, and yeah.
There's my some bad girl? People.
People in general.
Yeah. No bad dogs, though. They're all good.
No.
Okay, last one.
They're also bad dogs.
Most important thing you both individually have done that has helped your marriage.
Oh, boy.
Like, is there something you did as a separate individual yourself that has in turn helped your marriage?
For me, I served a 2-year mission for our church.
Mm.
And on that mission, you're with a companion for the whole 2 years. Not the same person, but I had 4 companions. I was with each of them for 6 months. And that helped me be able to adapt to living with different personalities, different people. And I had a lot of experiences with those different people, and it really humbled me and allowed me to adapt to those people. So us getting married and living with each other, and then once we get more comfortable with each other and have these emotions that maybe we hadn't had before, I'm able to adapt to that a lot easier.
I agree. I think that first off, like, missions in general are pretty cool in that aspect of having to like blend with so many different personality types, and you have to live with another man, like another guy. And so it makes marriage seem a lot easier when it's someone you love who's beautiful.
Do you think living with a girl is easier than living with a guy?
It's a lot more rewarding, that's for sure.
They like look at each other like
but yeah,
well, like, I sure didn't do that with my
I'm with Leif on that, like, serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was a awesome experience, and it taught me lessons that I didn't think would carry into my day-to-day life and marriage and work and profession that it did. And take away the whole spiritual side, and correct me if I'm wrong for you, Leif, but like, take out all the spirituality from the mission, I feel like it was still a good thing to do. Like, feel like the lessons,
like, even if the church wasn't true and even if all of that didn't matter,
yeah, even
like,
take it was all
still
of
the
that
best 2 years of your life.
It was still no it was definitely best not the best 2 years of my life. I'll be very honest with that. It was a good 2 years, and I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot, and it was, but it was really hard. But it was really good in the sense of learning.
Yeah. I think in general, being out on your own and living with roommates or doing things on your own is good for, is honestly probably the best way to prep for marriage.
Having experiences.
Yeah.
Like getting out there and doing things.
Yeah.
Serving people.
Yeah.
Taking care
of
yourself.
I can't, honestly, I'm like racking my brain for something I've done. I'm like,
I think pursuing your own dreams and going and building yourself up personally is the best thing you can do for your marriage, at least what I found, because you want to be selfless and you have to, you know, give up, sacrifice certain things, but also no one's going to benefit from you suppressing your own desires and your own, you know, what you were meant to be or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think for us, because we both, like we were saying earlier, it's like we're both feeling fulfilled in our own lives, that we bring that to our relationship where we're both happier and more understanding, and you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. So
oh wow,
yeah,
nice.
I was gonna say that I feel like, which unfortunately I've kind of regressed in this aspect and not progressed since marriage probably, but I think before marriage I had grown to be really independent, and that was a good thing. I think that I was very self-sufficient, and I didn't really care about, I don't know, I don't want to say I didn't care about other people's opinions, because I think I've always been a little bit of a people pleaser, but I went after things and I didn't look back. Like, I never was like, am I doing, I just was like, I love this and I'll go for it. And I think that brought a lot of blessings into my life and made me a really independent person and someone who's not really scared of going after things. And for that, I'm really grateful that I have that quality that I had kind of cultivated while I was single. But I think since getting married, I've almost become more dependent on life because we're always together. So I've almost lost a little bit of that independence, but I think I'm growing to get it back.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask this to JC.
It's so weird that you took your glasses off. You look like...
I don't...
You look like Arthur, the aardvark, when he takes his glasses off and his eyes are like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh my gosh.
How he has those big circle glasses, yeah, but in reality his eyes are like little dots.
Thank you.
No, you're the handsomest boy. I'm just
handsomest. No. I don't know what you're comparing me to, so I'm having a hard time.
Because I looked over and you had your glasses off and it just was kind of funny.
That's funny.
Anyways, I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask JC, like, because I feel like everything that you touch is like
gold.
Successful. Like it seems that way. That, and I know that there's no easy way to do that, because it's, I'm sure it's a lot of work. I'm having to figure out like
he's
6 years
touch
later.
My business.
Yeah, can you please just work some magic? No, but like, what is this? What do you do?
First off, JC is extremely confident in herself and in her skills, and she's worked hard to develop the skills that she has. But secondly, she's the most empathetic person that I know, and I feel like that benefits you in a business stance so much.
Because she can see multiple perspectives. Like, she can put herself in those shoes.
She understands people, and she understands... She just understands things, you know?
That makes
sense.
That's
sweet.
Yeah, it's like she knows what people want.
Yeah.
She knows her audience.
That's
nice. I don't know. I mean, I've definitely had, like... You know, everything's in waves.
Have
but
you?
I'm like, no, I do. Everything goes in waves. But I think I want to say that I've been lucky in the regard that when I started, I mean, obviously everything that I've started was at a good time. And I think that because I succeeded kind of early on in life, like earlier than most people do, that really built my confidence. And it made me not scared to go after things, because I realized that, like, I don't want to say I know that I'll always be successful, but really that is my mindset, is that, like, everything in thus far has shown me that that is who I am and that's who I'll always be. So it doesn't really scare me to start new things, because I just, again, it sounds kind of conceited almost to say I know it will be successful, but that is genuinely how I feel.
Well, you kind of have to have that. Yeah.
And I think for other people, if they've tried things and they failed and they've tried and they failed, they don't have that like confidence yet, because they haven't, you know, they haven't seen that success yet. So it's easy to, you know, you only know what your past has shown you. So it's like, if you've failed at all these things, then you think, well, I'll probably fail again. But for me, because I was successful early on at the thing that I love to do, from there on, I had such confidence. It's almost like that's what made it successful, is the fact that I just knew it would be, instead of like, maybe, I don't know.
You believed it.
I just believed in it with everything. And so
I don't think that's conceited at all.
No.
But I'm wondering, because you said like from the beginning, you felt like that helped you a ton. But I don't think that's by chance either. I felt like you put a ton of work into it, and you kind of had that personality and that work ethic that made it happen at the same time too.
Yeah. I have been confident and like a hard worker for my whole life, I think, but I do think that they all met up. It's like we were talking about in one of our last episodes. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So it's like I wasn't just completely lucky and out of nowhere I just became successful. It's like I had opportunities that were only possible because I had prepared and I was able to then, you know, take advantage of those opportunities and then become successful. And that's where that luck is, I think. But I do think I was lucky that I started at that time. So I was able to see that success and then I was able to build that confidence from a young age. But
that makes sense.
I also think you're good at seeing opportunities as they come and not having this specific expectation of what you want to be in 10 years. It's kind of like in a year, you're like, okay, this is good. This is what's going to come. Like, I sense that this is going to be like big, or this is going to be something that people are going to want, or this is going to blow up. It's like, and you jump on that and then it like kind of rides out. Whether I kind of like we were saying earlier, where some people are like, well, nope, I want to do this. Like, if you were to say, I only want to be the best wedding photographer there ever was. And like,
which isn't a bad thing.
No. I'm just saying, an influencing came along and you're like, well, no, I don't really want to do that because I just want to be a wedding photographer. It's like, well, then
you miss the opportunity.
Yeah, then you miss that opportunity. And like, you're like, okay, well, I can see where this is going. And then that has opened up more doors. And so you're just kind of.
Yeah. Not that you jump on every trend, but kind of. It's like you have to see what's working and be open to like molding into things, not changing yourself, but like.
Or you're like creating the circumstances.
It's just different doors opening at different times and deciding which door to go into.
That's what I feel like a lot of times I see you guys doing is creating the circumstances instead of being just like, oh, that's hot selling item or like this is the new thing. You're actually like on the front lines and innovating within your industry and other industries. And I think that makes the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Where I don't feel like that's people ask like, I don't know if they do. They probably already know why you're as big. You guys are as big and built a brand as big as you have. But I feel like that might be why, from my perspective.
Well, and the other thing, one more thing that I'll add before we wrap this up is that, like, you just have to be genuine and, like, true to yourself.
Totally.
Like, in whatever you do. I don't care if your business is something that, you know, because obviously my business revolves around me as a personality-ish. So I do have to be extra myself. But in anything you do, like, you just have to be genuine. You have to be honest and you have to be yourself. And that's, like, I really do not think anyone can find genuine success that's long-term unless they're those things. Like, I don't believe it. And
you
can't have
an act for very long.
No. And I've seen it so many times where these people just get burned out because I see it from a mile away. They're just not. You can see through it. They're not themselves. And yeah, I think that's genuine. Like literally the most important thing in anything in the business you're starting now. It's like, as long as you just always remain true to yourself and like you're being honest and you're creating things that you love and you're excited about, like you will find success. I believe that.
Yeah.
In my whole heart.
Awesome. No, I want to be like, thank you. I'm like, I'm taking notes, guys.
No. Yeah, that's my spiel for that.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk, everybody.
I'm recording this and I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm monetizing that.
On his own channel?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks, JC. We sign here.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
That was a blast.
Let's see. Do you guys know? Let's see if you guys listen to our podcast. Do you guys know, the general idea of our outro? What do we usually?
You guys usually do some quotes.
Oh, we're not going to do that this round.
Oh, you guys do listen. No, we gave that up.
No, we didn't.
Good. Nick says, awesome.
We didn't give that up. Red. But we're just, when episodes are long already or when we've talked about whatever, we don't feel the need to like get into quotes.
Yeah. We're over that. It's stupid.
That was so 2018.
Yeah, come on, Nick. Get with the program.
So what else do we ask? Or what else do we say? Come on.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before that, we tell them, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please screenshot it. Put it on your story. You know what else you can do? I'll tell you. You can leave us a review.
A nice one, stars, preferably.
Thing less. But really, we do appreciate your reviews, and we read all of them. even the mean ones.
And we screenshot
screenshot them and send them to each other.
And talk crap about you.
No, really though, thank you guys so much for your support.
We love you. And
that's what we said.
Bye-bye.
Bye.